What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And now, the Art Donovan Commentaries, brought to you by Parker Bowles, trading and selling commodities for over 150 years. The Negro entertainer, Chris Rock, has gone overboard this time. I'm Art Donovan. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Hey, Bill, how did you and Ginny plan your retirement?
Parker Bowles, they've enabled us to save for the future for little Billy's college education as well as little Christie's whatever she needs, you know.
Parker Bowles, huh?
Yeah, they're downtown at 5th and Main. Parker Bowles, helping families like yours for hundreds of years.
Art Donovan Commentary, page one. The Negro entertainer Chris Rock has said the Academy Awards are no big thing. He thinks that they are for gay white men. He said, and I quote, "I don't know a straight black man that has ever watched them." This Negro has been allowed free reign in our entertainment community. He lives like any white man, in a mansion, on top of a hill, driving cars that he wishes to drive, even dating in full view of people out in the street, white women. And yet the Negro bites the hand that feeds him. I'll be back with more comments in a moment.
Hey, Bob. Parker Bowles, huh?
5th and Main in downtown. Parker Bowles can help you with all your medical needs as well as retirement and educational needs. Parker Bowles, trading and selling commodities.
I'll have to look into that. How do you spell that?
P-A-R-K-E-R-B-O-L-E-S. Parker Bowles.
Art Donovan back here. This Negro, who was brought up by many in the white community, is now biting the hand that feeds him. This reporter has known other Negroes who have been very, very happy with their plight and their lot in Hollywood. And yet the Negro entertainer Chris Rock decides to come out and slam the Academy Awards after being asked to be the host. Many of our fine Negro entertainers are sickened by the comments that he's made. Morgan Freeman and Halle Berry and other Negroes that I spoke with, as well as other prominent members of the colored Negro community. I'll be back with final comments in a moment.
Parker Bowles isn't just for your family. For planning for your business, whether it's health benefits, workman's compensation, or other unforeseen problems, as well as expanding your company's capital, it's Parker Bowles.
So what is the answer? The Negro must be made to understand that he is in Hollywood with the helping hand of the white man. While Chris Rock is a funny man, a man of great talent, why this young, very talented colored Negro would come out and slam the people at the Academy Awards, people who could very well award him with an Oscar and help his career, I cannot see. I spoke with a very distinguished and marvelously talented Negro colored African American, Sidney Poitier, just before he died. And he said to me, "These young Negroes must be made to understand that the Hollywood community and all of the people involved, especially the Academy Awards, one of the most beautiful and glamorous nights of the evening, must be respected for not only, yes, the white entertainers, but future generations of Negroes as yet unborn." I'll be back with more in a moment.
Parker Bowles has been helping guys like Bill Johnson for 30 years build his business.
Well, I was laid up. I had a leg that, it was inflamed. It was larger. My right leg was about 3 times the size of my other leg. I thought, what have I done? I thought it was a sin. I thought God had visited something on me. But I visited Bill Thompson over here at Parker Bowles, and he said, "We can have that cut off. I can get you a leg. I'll get you a new leg in 24 hours.
Parker Bowles, making families like yours feel better.
This is Art Donovan with a final commentary. When will the young Negro understand that the Academy Awards are for their benefit as well as all whites? I'm Art Donovan. That's one man's opinion.
Art Donovan Commentaries brought to you by Parker Bowles Investments, trading commodities for over 150 years. For transcripts, write this station, care of Art Donovan, Commentaries, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up tonight, we are going to be interviewing David G. Hall. And I will tell you, it concerns me because he has an issue with a picture on our wall of female listeners. And I will tell you that we've had our wall up for a while, and it's just nothing that we make a big deal out of. It's simply a place where we put pictures of women who listen to our show. Nothing more, nothing less. You don't have to be a bathing beauty. By the same token, we don't... not want beautiful women on there. And something happened this afternoon. Do you know what it's about, Bud?
I do, but I don't want to say.
Can you give me an idea as to what it's about? Because it's got me a little nervous.
Well, he has an issue.
Yeah, I know he's got an issue. He told me. You don't want to tell me.
I don't, you know.
Okay, could you quit playing with a drink and either drink it or put it down? Also, we're going to have on our program later on tonight, Justin McElroy, a high school senior from Canyon High School in northern Los Angeles County, on what could become an epidemic of older women seducing younger men. Now, this Mary Kay Letourneau is the most recent, Deborah LaFave. The list goes on and on. He is a high school senior who feels the pressure, as do his friends, that either his teachers or his mother's friends are scoping him out, gunning for him, what have you. So we'll be talking with him later on our show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, and I wanted to get to a little bit of email. We get a lot of email, and we have a little place on our website that says you can get a response from Phil if you're a backstage pass listener, and I take that very seriously. So when I see one of our emails that is from a backstage pass listener, I will definitely answer that, but it's going to take me some time. And also, if you're a repeat emailer like Ryan in Houston, you're a pain in the ass. Would you please leave me alone and let me get to some other email? Thank you so very much. And then there's the other guy who has been complaining for 3 months about how this sucks and that sucks and he wants his money back. And I finally called Doug tonight and I said, would you please get this guy his money back? And I don't ever want to see his name again as long as I live on this planet. He had emailed something, I want my money back. How come you're on this stuff? And I emailed back my usual blow it out your ass, right? And then he goes, well, just telling me to blow it out my ass didn't solve the problem. So I said, what is this guy's problem? He goes, oh, who? I said, the guy down there in Cardiff by the sea who every week has got some new problem. Oh, I emailed him. I said, tell you what, just tell him to get lost. Tell him to get lost, give him a refund, get him out of here. And Doug's like, do you mean you don't want to have... Yes, get out of here. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean, what does it mean? Tell him to bug off.
What do you mean?
You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I do try to answer that mail, and it's going to take me a long time. So you guys who are, who have been very kind to email with the show... And the other thing I want to say about show suggestions... Our show is interesting. I don't think there's a radio show out there like it because in a lot of ways people treat it like a TV show. And what I mean by that, they submit material. You know what I mean? In other words, you know how a television show has people writing bits and they send it in and they want it to be used? We get tons of material. And I always say the same thing. All unsolicited mail, all unsolicited material to the Phil Hendry Show will be the property of the Phil Hendry Show. And then we'll either wipe with it or burn it or... Well, I don't say that, Bud.
Yeah, you do. Sorry.
No, well, what I'm saying is I just... Sometimes we'll use it. No, we never use it. If I used it, I would... I'd have to pay them, and I don't want to do that. So We get a lot of that, and then, of course, we have usual things, the requests and stuff. So it takes me some time to get through all of this. We just hired a new producer, the wonderful Michelle, and she's going to be with us starting next Monday. So things are going to start moving along a little bit quicker. I say that to say that I have downloaded a few emails, and I have these are all from Backstage Pass listeners. One of them mentioning the Comb Over Boy show, who we will, as you know, we've changed. We're just going to call him Boy from now on. And this person went on to say that Boy was going off about my show for a solid hour, right? Solid hour, this guy's talking about my show. For 1 hour, this cat is going on and on and on about how I'm going off the air in L.A. and how I must be a failure. And, here's the thing that as I've said before, the guy does an afternoon show. I do a night show. What's his obsession? We don't know. Anyway, she goes on to say that Boy goes on talking about how he's got a Lexus. So, in other words, the guy's got two pieces of material, me and his car, and it's a Lexus. Now, you can say what you want about me driving a Jaguar. At least the Jaguar exhibits a little bit of originality, don't you think? I mean, as opposed to the Mercedes, but a Lexus. I wouldn't drive a Lexus if I was being held hostage by vampires and it was the only way out of town. I'd hitchhike first.
Bull crap.
I would. So Boy is over there going on about his car, and he's going on about me. And as I said before, and then I see something. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up with a bumper sticker that says Boy 101. What do you think of that? Drive me out of truck today, and it's got it in dirt on the back. Comb Over Boy 101. Oh, my God. Just the kind of guy you want for a listener, too. A guy, he looks like he's got about 150 Mexicans crammed in the back of this thing. Excuse me for saying that. I'm sure all the Mexicans are fine people. Just the guy driving the truck's a scumbag. I had the misfortune of hearing the hour of the Boy show when he was mistakenly saying you were going off the air, and the cat goes on and on and on about my show. I'm going to tell you something. Like I said before, this guy is so lame, he knows how lame he is, and what pisses him off is he knows that I know. Not only does he know that I know, he knows that I know that he knows. So that's how well I read this guy. He's bugged because I know he's embarrassed by his own show. And he knows that I know that he knows. That's number one. Number two, anyone that listens to that show, I'm sorry, you're probably a very nice person. You are now, forevermore, a lame ass yourself. Now, I've always said this about the listeners to my radio show. And this is the facts. Whether you like them or whether you don't, whether I don't want them to be Backstage Pass subscribers or not, people that listen to my show are of a higher level of intelligence and appreciation of humor. They just got a sharper edge to their sense of humor. It's just a fact. You can't deny it. There's no way of getting around it. That's just the way it is. People that listen to this show and like this show are smarter than most people. It's a fact. And Boy knows that. Boy, no, his listeners, no good, no smart. You like Boy's show?
I love it.
Perfect. Bet you get all your sex advice from Boy, don't you?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Guy ain't had a date in months. And that's the other thing that bothers Boy. So I got a little bit of email on that, and the whole thing about talking about what kind of freaking car you drive, man. You know, I spent about 5 minutes on my car one night, and now I got 150,000 emails every day from people saying, "So, you drive a Jag, huh?" I said, "How do you, big deal." So I took a picture in traffic. People are going over these photographs that I send into the website with a fine-tooth comb, with like a little microscope. They're looking to see, aha, there it is, the Jaguar thing on the front, and it wasn't the traffic that I was photographing, which was the point of the picture. It was they're going over it to find out what kind of car I drive. Now, what kind of freaky, obsessive thing is that? Honest to God. I said, here's a picture of this traffic, and we're 40 miles outside of town. You should have seen the picture I took, if you remember it. It was in the middle of a wild, pastoral area, ranch land, 40 miles out of L.A., nothing but ranches. And the traffic's backed up. And some dumbass who doesn't know anything writes and says, "Doesn't look that crowded to me." Yeah, okay, fine. You know what, pal? I tell you what you do. You go home, pick up your truck there in Des Moines, come on back out here, move on into the little apartment up there in the Hollywood Hills, okay? And you just maybe commute a few days a week. Just kind of get into the swing of things, okay? Just take your pigs to market. You'll find out. So I got the picture there, and instead of looking at the traffic and looking at the, the scene, They're going over this thing to find out what kind of freaking car I drive. Now, what's the next thing I get? Here we go. What a jackball you are, you didn't buy a hybrid. Me!
Well, you are. You're a lying sack of do because you... Ow!
Don't call me that. I said maybe I'd buy a hybrid.
You said you would.
Okay, so how come it's up to me to buy a hybrid?
But you said you would.
I'm just a talk show host. What am I, God?
People follow your example.
Well, you know what? They're going to have to not follow my example. They're going to have to get unstuck to me following my example.
Well, why'd you lie? You lied to everybody.
What, are you going to bawl now?
It's not right.
Oh, you baby. You ride a motorcycle anyway. What do you care?
I read the email from people who are upset.
Oh, shut up with your fake tears, Dickman. I'm going to clock you. So I said I'd get a hybrid. So what? I didn't. I decided. I changed my mind. I took another look at it, as Michael Douglas said in Wall Street. When Charlie Sheen says, why'd you wreck the company? He goes, because it was wreckable. I took another look at it, man. I ain't buying a hybrid. So what? That doesn't keep anybody else from buying a hybrid, does it? I was trading emails with this one guy. He said, you rotten, foul hypocrite. I said, what's your price? He goes, you said you were buying a hybrid. I said, all right, so I didn't. Don't you realize that people look to you for example? I go, if that's the case, people are in serious trouble. He goes, what do you mean? I said, nobody knows anything about me. I could be a liar and a thief for all you know. Well, we admire you. Well, you shouldn't. Just because I happen to be somebody you like to listen to the radio, maybe I'm funny every 5 seconds, doesn't mean that I'm anybody that's reliable or should take my opinion for diddly squat. And then a guy goes on to say, and then this is when he becomes Mr. Phil, you don't know who I am, but I'm married to a famous television personality, and I've seen how people... Oh, I see. Okay, now you're going to lay it all out for me, huh? And you've seen how people kind of react to her, and I said, it still doesn't make any difference. In fact, you ought to be even more convinced. You know who you're married to. I bet you she's a... It starts with a T, and it ends with a...
Tyke?
Never mind, man. So... I didn't get it, and I got that instead. And you know what? Maybe I'll get a hybrid. And so what if even if I got a hybrid? If I was driving around, if I said, I got a hybrid, you think it's going to sell one extra hybrid? Here's what I would get. Hey, I bought a hybrid. It sucks. It doesn't get good gas mileage, and it blows, and I'm going to stick with it. You know, it ain't up to me anymore. It ain't up to the radio and TV personalities. People got to get up off their dead asses and go out and do it themselves. If they don't, what do you only got yourselves to blame. Go buy a hybrid. In fact, you cats that don't want any war in Iraq, go buy a hybrid. I dare you. I dare you. I double dare you. I mean, is there anything funnier than the guy who's going on and on and on about the soldiers dying in the Middle East? Meanwhile, how much do you get per gallon of gas? About 16 miles. Why? I mean, what's up with you, Fruit Loop?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, now you're getting it? So that was one of the things that was going back and forth. So finally, Michelle's going to be coming in here. She'll answer most of that stuff, unless, of course, it's a backstage pass email, and then we'll go for it. And then another one on the NBC pilot. Everybody thought it was not everybody. A lot of people thought it was good. Please let me just inform you. Other than Laurie Metcalf and French Stewart, who were brilliant, the pilot sucked. And thank God in heaven that it's not on the air, and I'll never do anything else again for television that I don't have the absolute total mastery and control of. In other words, the Adolf Hitler of the project, and that ain't going to happen. There's no way in hell that's going to ever happen. But that one thing that I've learned is the next time I do anything on television, if they don't give me the absolute Heinrich Himmler control of the thing, meaning I can have people shot if I need to, if a cameraman pisses me off, if an actor makes me angry, if even one of the executives comes in from the network and he looks at me cross-eyed, I can have him beaten and thrown in the street. I want that in a contract, or I will never do anything more for television. When you turn over, your thing, whatever your thing is, you turn it over to somebody else, and then you have them kind of direct it. In other words, it's something that I do. Nobody else does it. Now I'm going to let these guys do it? Why? Because they know television? Well, they know how to make a camera go here, and they know how to have an actress go, ooh, or whatever, but they don't know what I do. As a result, they, not me, they screwed it up. I'm blameless. I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, man. So, yeah, that sucked, and I really appreciate the nice words. Now, tonight we will have David G. Hall talking about something that is bothering him on a website. We will also have Justin McElroy, who's going to be on our program to talk a little bit about the phenomenon of older women and younger men. And also our green gardener will be on with us. He's got some gardening tips, too. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Some guy writes me a letter and says, you're making fun of Howard Stern when you do the Baba Booey thing? No. Let me explain that. Baba Booey is now in the vernacular. It's a popular cultural idiom. We use it as a comment on the kind of people who use it. You know, those crank callers who say Baba Booey? We ain't making fun of Howard. We're making fun of the jackasses that call up and say it. Jesus. Thanks for the email, bud, you idiot.
All right, thought I'd give it a shot.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's Greg Groom's Gardening Tips. Oh, hi. This is Greg Groom, and welcome to our Gardening Tips show. You wouldn't know it, but it's time for those fertilizer stakes to get driven into the ground for your spring plantings, and no time like the present. And that's what we're going to talk about today on Greg Groom Gardening Tips. What I've got right here, you can see there's different kinds of fertilizer stakes. And it depends on what it is that you're going to be planting. Are you going to be planting some fruit trees? Are you going to be planting some of your shrubs and your flowers? I personally love to have a beautiful orchard of fruit trees. In the springtime and in the early summertime, we love to have our apricots. We love to get our peaches and that. So what I'll do here, and I'm taking them out of the bag here, and I would suggest you can go to any nursery and can pick up your fertilizer stakes or what have you. And get yourself just a mallet or something. And you want to drive the stake into the ground as much as you can. Right in there. We got a little police activity going on behind us. So get your stake driven into the ground. Hold on for a minute.
Hi.
Yes, sir. You Mr. Greg Groom?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Mr. Groom, I have a warrant here for your arrest, sir.
Okay.
Greg, this is Phil Hendry.
Hold on. What's wrong?
Yes, sir. We have a warrant for your arrest, sir.
What is it?
For the disappearance of your wife, Sarah Jane Groom. Do you know where she is?
No, sir. I told you. I didn't know.
Okay, sir. We have a warrant for your arrest. Suspicion of murder, sir.
Jesus. Greg, this is Phil Hendry.
Yeah, Phil?
Do you want us to take it over here? Can I ask the officer something?
The man back at the station.
Yes, sir.
Who am I speaking with?
I'm Officer Perilli. I'm on the New Jersey State Patrol.
And what is the charge, sir?
We do have a warrant for suspicion of murder in the disappearance of his wife's body. We're looking. We have a search warrant right now for the search. That's all I can tell you right now.
All right, I don't know what to say. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
What are they doing?
They're digging out near the fence.
Bring the backhoe in over here, Bobby, too, because I don't need to look over here.
Please watch that tree. That's my favorite tree.
All right.
We got it!
Okay, we did find it.
Mr. Groom?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what those remains are that we've just found here near the fence line?
No, I don't.
I love my wife very much. Okay, sir. We're going to place you under arrest. This officer here will take you over the radio car where you'll be placed, and just like you to cooperate with him, sir.
Can I ask the officer?
Yes.
This is Phil Henry. Did you find something?
We found what we think are possibly human remains, yes, sir. All right, let's get out of here. Sorry, I can't stick around. Bye.
Should we just,
I go with music. Right. This has been the Greg Groom Gardening Show.
Guess that's all we can do, huh, bud?
Yeah.
So Greg Groom has been taken by the New Jersey State Patrol. I believe they found remains in the corner of his yard, which they believe to be his wife's. And there he was trying to just plant gardening fertilizer stakes. It's a beautiful thing. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our web address is www.philhenryshow.com, and our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Did you hear what Chris Rock said about the Academy Awards? He said that he doesn't know one straight black man that watches them. And I got to thinking about that, and while I don't really know whether that's true or not, it makes sense. If you think about the Academy Awards, and you think about straight black people, black men, there ain't much for them to watch. Well, other than the white women.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Okay, well, in that case, Chris, you're dead wrong, man. There's a whole lot for a straight white or black guy to see. In any event, he made this comment on the eve of him becoming the host of the Academy Awards, where he is going to stand there, you know, and do what Billy Crystal and all them cats do. He's going to stand up there and make with the jokes, right, while they give out these awards. And they say that this is not a good thing, that the dude is somehow, you know, biting the hand that feeds him. You heard the commentary by Art Donovan. He said that the Academy Awards are really just a stilted, boring, dull affair, and nobody, and I mean no one, needs really to get all exercised about the things. However, he won't mind taking the money and running with it, okay? So, there you go. Now, here's a guy that's going to stand up there, Chris Rock, and as Art Donovan said, a Negro. That's the last Academy Award we're going to see for black people in years. He's going to set the race back thousands, if not millions of years. He's going to get up there, piss off everybody in that Academy of Arts and Science and Motion Picture, whatever the hell they call it. What is that called anyway, bud? Look it up.
Academy of Sciences and Arts.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? He's going to make them so mad that they won't give the award out to a black person for centuries. And they'll always look back on Chris Rock hosting the Academy Awards as why, after, who got it? Denzel Washington and Halle Berry. That's the last time they gave it out to any black folks. Because Chris Rock pissed them off. They'll give it out to a Chinaman first, a Native American first. We'll see people who, we'll see Martians get it before another black person gets it. Because Chris Rock butchered it up for everybody. I don't even know if there's a black guy in a movie this year. Is there, bud?
I don't know. I hate black people. I don't go watch them.
Okay, that's right. I forgot. I think they're all white folks in those movies. And the half the flicks that come out, like, for instance, the one that Master and Commander, the only part you can give to a black guy in a movie like that is, like, Ship Boy. What are you going to do? Cabin Boy? What's he going to be, the captain? There's no way. You make a movie about the 18th, 19th century and you get black guys in it, there's only two things they can be, Cabin Boy or Slave. There's no way the dude's the captain. And it really is like crazy when you see, for instance, these Shakespearean recreations, Much Ado About Nothing, whatever the hell, and they put a black guy in it. Other than what's the one that they had the black guy in? It was called, I forget. The one that What's-His-Face did.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're an idiot. This is what I got, an idiot for a partner. Othello, that's it, Othello, The Moor of Venice.
What about Men in Black?
That ain't Shakespeare, Men in Black. I'm talking about Men in Black. I mean, I'm talking about Shakespeare.
What about Men in Black 2?
That ain't Shakespeare either. Maybe I'd just call it Men Are Black.
About Apollo 13?
What about it?
They had a black guy in that, didn't they?
They had one black guy in that movie, Apollo 13. He was a reporter.
Well...
Well, what are you now? You're going to start picking it apart, man? All I'm telling you is that Chris Rock is going to get up there, piss off so many of them old white folks, they won't put a black guy in a movie other than to, like, scrub a toilet out.
What about the Wizard of Oz?
What about the Wizard of freaking Oz? Who was black in that?
The Wizard.
The Wizard? The Wizard was black.
Wasn't he?
No, he was not black. He was a white man.
Oh, I know. Did you ever see that movie, Invaders from Mars?
Yeah.
What about the black guy's head in the ball?
You know what they did, bud? They took a black guy, and they gave him octopus tentacles, and they made him the head Martian, okay? That don't make him black. He was a freaking Martian. And Klingons don't count either. Way to go, Rock. Way to go, man.
How about Darth Vader? He was dark.
He had the black guy voice. That's it. Get out of here. So I was at the Aspen Comedy Festival, which I didn't go back to this year. And the reason why I didn't go back to the Aspen Comedy Festival isn't because I don't like the people at the Aspen Comedy Festival. It's because I don't like the people in Aspen who are there at that time of year. Two reasons. Number one, they're a pain in the ass. Number two, I hate them. Okay? Those basic two reasons. Now, and the other thing is performing at the Aspen Comedy Festival, doing our radio show, is extremely stressful. And we almost had a riot last year when I brought an engineer up to do my show for me, and we couldn't get the show on the air the first night, and we had to turn away 500 people from the door. So I decided I want to do this show. But I was there last year, and I went in to have some breakfast, and Mike Judge was there from King of the Hill, and he was having breakfast with Chris Rock. As it was the one and only time I met him, and I said, "How do you do, Mr. Rock? I'm Phil Henry. It's nice to meet you." And I said to him, "You're really a, you know, great performer." And he said, "Nah, I suck." And all, you know, he was just being very self-effacing. And I could hear Mike telling him about my show, and they were laughing, but not laughing hard enough. And that's when I decided to, you know, I put him in my crosshairs. So when I found out that he was, you know, hosting the Academy Awards, I decided to let him have it.
Did he talk loud and laugh a lot and say outrageous stuff?
No, he was eating a hamburger, most of which he didn't eat. All right, 1-800-449, so there it is. That's my big story on the Academy Awards. And have I seen a movie this year? No. Do I care? Probably not. Baba Booey. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We got Ted Bell with us. Ted, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very good. I heard some of your comments relative to the Aspen Comedy Festival. Put it over on table four. I heard some of your comments relative to the Aspen Comedy Festival. And can you hold on for a minute?
Yeah.
You need to get the hem down. Get the hem up in that dress. Yeah. I heard some of your comments.
Are you busy at the restaurant now?
No, we got an early dinner rush here, but I'm a little bit concerned. I have called you before with this. It's nothing new. I'm trying to understand why you want to take a figurative, an imaginary shotgun and put both of the barrels in your mouth and pull the trigger with a smile on your face. I don't understand.
How am I doing that?
Well, the comments you're making about the Academy of Motion Picture Arts, and then you talk about not wanting to go to the HBO Comedy Festival because you don't like those people. Oh, my Christ. Are you trying to...
Wait. I didn't say it about them. I mean the people in that town.
Well, what are you talking about, the people in Aspen?
Yeah.
So the people of Aspen are the people who are from the entertainment community and go in. What are you talking about? They're the people that go there and ski and enjoy the community.
Fine, let them enjoy. I don't like them. They're mean and ugly people. Do you understand? Mean and ugly.
You're talking about the actors who live up there.
I don't know who they are or what they are. They're mean, vicious bastards. And not only that, they're the stupidest people I've ever met in my life. I don't like them.
Oh, boy.
Okay, are you going to give me the speech now?
Well, I got to tell you something. You are blowing it. You're talking that way about the entertainment community.
Look, wait, hold on for a minute. I'm not talking that way about the entertainment community. I'm just saying I don't want to go back to Aspen because I don't like the people up in that town that time of year, okay?
Oh, so in other words, you like everything about the comedy festival except you don't like the people, you don't like the town, you don't like the this, you don't like the... You know what? That's what we call spitting the steak out in your napkin and flushing it down the toilet, okay? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, chewing up and then just and putting it in the... did you ever do that as a kid?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, that's what we call in the restaurant business, pre-masticating your meat only to throw it into the toilet. And I am telling you...
Well, whatever that means.
I'm telling you... Well, you're covering up.
I'm not covering up anything. I think that the people who put on the festival are great. I don't like Aspen at that time of year. I don't know what the hell it is. I just don't like them, okay?
Well, you're blowing it big time, because these are people who could be very, very...
Oh, blah, 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 very, very important. Look at, man, I gotta go, okay?
Wait a minute, you blowing me off?
I gotta get going, yeah.
You're blowing off Ted Bell. Whew. Boy, where do you get your balls?
I'm hanging up the phone.
You're blowing me off Ted Bell. Where do you get your brass balls?
1-800-449, the guy, where does he get them? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up in a few minutes, David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication, and we will have Justin McElroy, a high school senior from Canyon High, on this entire phenomenon of older women teachers seducing male students. That's later on in our program tonight. 1-800-449-8686, our web address, www.philhendryshow.com. And let's go to Hal. Hi, Hal. Hal, how you doing?
Is this Phil?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Phil. Hal Levalier. We enjoy your program immensely, just immensely. And I'm flying here with my wife, Viola, on our way to Laughlin, and we wanted to just tell you we're getting one hell of a kick out of your program tonight, as usual. And
well, I appreciate that.
And I just can't begin to... And we got our backstage pass. Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and we listen to the archives, and we go home and replay the tapes, and we've got some of them here in the airplane with us. We've got a Piper Cub. We're going about probably no more than 5,000 feet. We're on our way over to Laughlin here. I'm going to give it over to Viola. This is my wife.
These people are flying a plane.
We'll take the phone!
Hello, Phil. Viola Levalier, and you are a godsend. Because,
well, thank you.
Because when we fly, we listen to your program, and should I ask about that, Terry?
Well, yeah, I think I would. I would if I were you.
Phil, our nephew, he's a wonderful boy. He's been engaged in a 6-month sexual tryst with two of his teachers. Now, I think...
His teachers?
Yes. Now, there's nothing...
Oh, we don't mind.
We don't mind it at all. We think it's a healthy thing. Why every young boy should be allowed to express himself sexually at that age? Why, when I was his age, of course, I was a girl.
Oh, no!
Did they stall out again? Pot that phone back up. Let's see where they are, bud. Okay, anyway, 1-800-449-8686.